Oh, you look so nice today. He is risen. Oh, there you go. Peace be with you. The bell choir is all over it, folks. So, grace and peace of Christ, our risen Lord, be with you all, as well as those online, as we join our hearts together on this joyful day of celebration and anticipation. It is Easter Sunday, 2023, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and I am joined by a worship team who has prepared and are ready to celebrate with you as we worship together on this glorious Easter Sunday. Our production engineer has given the thumbs up, and we can't wait. Our special musicians today are Jamie Keller, Kim Finneson, Shannon Quinn, Lorraine Finneson, members of the Mayflower Bell and Chancel Choirs, our music director Barb Fuller, accompanist Deanne McCormick and Kristen Kimmick, and all of you who will be directed to sing with the choir at the appropriate time. So folks, you're part of the show today, if you'll excuse it. And today's liturgist is Lorraine Finneson. Now, Easter Sunday is typically a day in most any church that we welcome visitors to our service. And we want you to know that your presence is a gift to us. And we hope you will enjoy the service today. We do not pass offering plates and have no expectation from our visitors for a financial offering. Some, however, often ask or are unfamiliar with our protocols if they want to give, where is the offering plate? And there's a receptacle both on the pew here and at the entrance to the church there, and if you so desire. And you will have an opportunity to join us in the Friendship Center, which is this direction following the service. And there are some refreshments and coffee and things that you can consume as we share together a continuation of our worship, because that's the fellowship part of it, even on Easter. And we will have an act of holy worship in the service where we offer ourselves, our time, our talents, and our resources to God. So, it is time now for worship.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
And happy Easter. While in our tradition we celebrate the resurrection of Christ every Sunday, on this very special day in the life of the church that occurs just once every year, we have prepared a special service of exuberant hymns and rousing anthems, which will include trumpets and handbells, and an opportunity for the congregation to sing in conjunction with the choir, as you will be directed. In keeping with our worship theme today, our Easter celebration transcends the single event of Christ's resurrection into the larger drama of Scripture, our lives, and the life of our church. We trust the music, Scripture, prayers, and the spoken word on this Easter will be more than something to remind us of our hope and faith until next Easter. When we leave today, our desire is that we will all find the inspiration to live as Easter people, ready and able to minister to and serve the broken world in which we live. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God and our risen Lord, we have entered your house today in anticipation of celebrating a reality that is the foundation of our faith, the resurrection of Christ. We pray that in all we do and say in worship today, that we would be granted the assurance that the power of the resurrection can bring new life into all the dead places in our lives and in our church. Instill in us a continuing joy that extends the excitement of this service into acts of compassion, sacrificial service, and unconditional love to all whom we encounter. May this include our beloved family members, our neighbors, the beggar on the street, and the refugees around the world, all of whom, like us, long for an eternal hope that begins now. In the name of Jesus, the risen Christ, we pray. Amen.
Never more than on Easter Sunday are we aware of the innumerable blessings and gifts of God offered to us in the forms of forgiveness, unconditional love, and eternal hope. We can now do no less than to offer back our time, our talents, our resources, and indeed our very selves to God in this holy act of worship. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and giver of all new life, we've already been inspired and stirred in this service of joyous celebration and exuberant worship. Give us an unbridled spirit of enthusiasm when we think about your sacrifice of love, which cannot be sealed even in the most secure of tombs. Give us a hope that transcends the confines of this groaning planet and our earthly tents, which shall be exchanged into the imperishable at the last trumpet. In all the mystery of what lies beyond the grave, give us an Easter hope that radiates and translates into love and compassion to others as we reflect the spirit of the resurrected Lord. Instill in us a greater motivation to serve, to share, to love, and to sacrifice, which shall be the life-changing force in this world, which produces many miracles of new life, changed perspectives, and a peace which passes all understanding. Let us never forget those who suffer as a result of wind, fire, flood, and famine, or because of the harmful acts of others. Help us to resist all forms of evil, not only in our own struggles, but because of the existence of oppression, injustice, and greed. Help us to believe in the most powerful form of resistance, that of the love of God, from which nothing can separate. Now, with love in our hearts, we pray for those near and dear and those upon our lips whose first names we mention now. And now, O Lord, we join our hearts in unison as we pray together that which we have been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, verses 1 through 6. Now, most Easter messages begin with a reading from one of the Gospel accounts. Today, in our reading from the prophet Jeremiah, we are reminded of a larger drama of Scripture and of our lives that transcends a single event. So hear now these words. At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O virgin Israel. Again, you shall take your tambourines and go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards in the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall be a day when sentinels will call in the hill country of Ephraim, come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for listening ears, longing hearts, and open minds. May it be so for all of us. Amen. Well, my musical responses are behind me now, so I feel lighthearted. So now I'm going to have a little fun with you. We'll put Jeremiah aside or on hold just for a little bit because it's Easter. Did you see the moon this week? Did you see the moon? Okay. Yes, many of you did. It was full and quite visible. But with the moon, you might not have made a connection or two. And I have to tell you that most Christians are unable to answer this question. Why does Easter occur on a different calendar date each year? Now, I'm sure there are many that have some idea about this, and maybe a few that know exactly, but I think it's important on Easter Sunday to reinforce when someone asks you who might not be a part of the church, might not identify with the Christian faith, that we know or have an idea. Easter is celebrated on the Sunday that follows the first full moon, and we saw it this last week, after the vernal equinox in the northern hemisphere. Conversely, and here's something I've given a lot of thought to recently, in the southern hemisphere, it is the Sunday that follows the first full moon after the autumnal equinox, which marks the beginning of autumn. What is wrong with that picture? Seems odd, doesn't it, that Easter, in its history and being connected to the rites of spring, would be at the outset of autumn? Well, because Easter was originally a pagan celebration celebrating the arrival of spring, the roots of Easter are almost entirely in the northern hemisphere, in both Christian and pagan traditions. Probably never thought about that before. And did you know that Pope Francis is the only pope in 2,000 years who was ever from the southern hemisphere? Many in the southern hemisphere have difficulty with us when they discover that most Christians in the northern hemisphere do not realize what seems normal to us is backward to them, or vice versa, as the weather seasons and cycles of the moon operate in a manner inconsistent and counterintuitive to our northern bias. And in Christianity, we must admit a northern bias, something to think about when we preach the message that God loves the whole world. Now, here are some other things. You'll have to indulge me a little bit here, folks, about Easter. The earliest date that it can ever occur is March the 22nd. And that hasn't happened since 1818. And it won't happen again until 2285, 467 years before that happens again. The last date it can occur is April 25th, which happens more frequently than March 22nd and will happen in 2038. And hopefully, for many, if not all of us, we might be around to witness that. The rarest date on which Easter occurs is March 24th for some odd reason of the cycle of the moon. And the most common dates for Easter are April 16th and March 31st. Last year was April 16th. Next year is March 31st, which is my son's birthday. And for the third time in my son Kyle's lifetime, his birthday will land on Easter, as it did for his 6th and 17th birthdays. How many of you ever had a birthday on Easter? Raise your hand if you've had a birthday on Easter. Okay, several. Does anyone here have a birthday today? Where are you, Chris? That's my sister. Happy birthday, Chris. Along with her twin sister, we celebrated yesterday. That celebration will continue this afternoon. I won't tell you how old she is, but they were the firstborn. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. I'm glad we can celebrate the rites of spring and all that goes with it, even in the church, and there are some other non-biblical traditions of Easter that bear mention. The Easter bunny is not in the Bible. I hope you knew that. Of course, but it, like the original pre-Christian traditions of Easter, represent an ancient symbol of fertility and new life. It was thought that the tradition was brought to America by German immigrants in the 1700s, whose children made nests for those fabled and mythical egg-laying hares. Did you ever know that rabbits laid eggs, at least in mythology? And those creatures laid their colored eggs into nests that made by those children and made Easter morning deliveries, which included chocolate and other types of candy and gifts. As their tradition spread across America, decorated baskets replace the nests. Easter eggs are part of the pagan tradition also, but there is a connection in the Christian tradition, as Easter eggs are said to represent Jesus' emergence from the tomb and resurrection. And what I assume about that is, have you ever seen an egg that's just ready to hatch? And then you see what happens there, and there's an emergence. Decorating eggs is a tradition which dates back to the 13th century, according to some sources. And one possible explanation is that eggs were formerly a forbidden fruit during Lent. So people would paint and decorate them to mark the end of the period of fasting and penance, then eat them on Easter as a celebration. And Chris, do you remember when Mom used to help you and Karen make Easter eggs, and I would come down in the morning and they'd have all the beautiful colored dyed Easter eggs out? That was a pretty kind of neat part of my Easter memories. Did you know that Easter is the second best-selling candy holiday? And can you tell me what's number one? I heard different answers. It is Halloween, if you guessed it. One of the most popular is chocolate eggs, which date back to early 19th century Europe. And the jelly bean became popular in the 1930s here in America. And according to the National Confectioners Association, over 16 billion jelly beans are made every year for Easter, enough to fill a giant jelly bean 89 feet high and 30 feet wide. Wouldn't that be something if there was a contest to be able to count those eggs? And the most popular non-chocolate Easter treat has been what? Absolutely. It's the Marshmallow Peeps, and the originals were Yellow Chicks, and many still are. All right, folks, like I said, I just can't help myself. I'm getting there. The annual White House Easter egg has its origin on Easter Monday in 1876. Upwards of 10,000 children off from school marched toward the newly completed cast iron dome of the U.S. Capitol, toting baskets abounding in a rainbow of beautifully colored dyed eggs. They carried on a tradition that had arisen in the nation's capital during the 1800s to see which ones traveled the farthest down the hill without breaking. The children also rode down the grassy embankment themselves on the west side of the Capitol and wore the grass completely bare. So much so that the already strapped Congress for cash to maintain the Capitol grounds within the nation's, with the nation's centennial bash just weeks away. Here's one for you. Congress passed a law called the Turf Protection Law to prevent any part of the Capitol grounds to be used as a playground. Bet you didn't know that. It was signed into law by President Ulysses Grant on April 29, 1876. After rain washed out the celebration in 1877, the event came to the White House upon the invitation of President Rutherford Hayes, who instituted the tradition in 1878. And President Benjamin Harrison recruited the Marine Band to perform a few years later, and as the tradition grew, as many as 50,000 people poured across the South Lawn of the White House by 1937. Although World War II interrupted the event, President Eisenhower revived it in 1953 after a 12-year hiatus. The tradition continues to this day. Those are some of the celebrations that many of us can identify with as we participate in all that is beautiful and good, even beyond our sacred tradition in the church. So, I won't have you verbally answer this question, but what are your favorite memories of Easter? And I have to tell you, I have two, and both involved Easter sunrise services. How many of you have ever been to an Easter sunrise service? Okay, that's many of you. I think our music director would have a cow if I decided to have a sunrise service here at Mayflower, but you never know. Well, maybe we'll do that sometime. If we do, I'll tell you what, I'll promise to cook the eggs and bacon. I attended a sunrise service on April 2nd, 1961, that I'll never forget at the brand new minor league baseball park in Tacoma, Washington, called Cheney Stadium, with several churches participating, and my father was the organizer of the event, and he was pretty good at things like that. And on a cloudy Easter morning at 6 a.m. on April 24th, 2011, at the Crystal Mountain Ski Area in Washington near Mount Rainier, something amazing happened at the top of the gondola lift at the annual sunrise service, where only skiers were allowed because that was the only way you could get down. And just as the eloquent and young Catholic priest began his homily, the clouds momentarily parted, and Mount Rainier, the summit, and half of the top of the mountain gleamed, that glaciated peak, with a sunlit beauty that stunned and silenced all who witnessed it, including me. In a few minutes, the clouds rolled back in, and the service was over. But that was all I thought about as I skied back down to the lodge for breakfast. Obviously, I still think about it to this day. It was mystical and unexplainable, a miracle. A mystical and unexplainable event happened 2,000 years ago. And if you read each of the gospel accounts, you will find elements of all kinds of emotions, mystery, and the unexplained, including the fact that none of the accounts completely agree. An earthquake and an unanticipated eclipse. The temple curtain torn magically, or so it seemed. Emotions among those who came to the empty tomb on Sunday morning were all over the place, including fright, awe, doubt, fear, anxiety, joy, and hope. In all of our celebrations today here in worship and later with the possibility of family and friends, or the loneliness of your own existence, Easter presents to us a larger drama that transcends our singular hope to live beyond the grave. Enter the prophet Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, most of the book, and it's one of the longer ones in the Bible, includes laments of sorrow and judgment against a disobedient Israel. While the exact date in history cannot be firmly established, most scholars agree that it was around the time of the exile of Judah to Babylon, who had defeated them militarily and destroyed their temple. Most of the book should be avoided on Easter, as it is not a time to pronounce or preach judgment. But we cannot read this narrative of hope and a bright future proclaimed for God's beloved community of Israel, or Mayflower for that matter, by lopping off the warnings, the calls to repent, and the inevitability of judgment. So if you ask why this preacher does not preach much about the judgment of God, I will respond quickly by saying to you that I am not a prophet. A prophet like Jeremiah knows what time it is, when the people were cocky, complacent, self-indulgent, and secure. Jeremiah knew it was time for repentance and frank warnings. But I am a preacher of the gospel, which is always good news. And in this chapter, one of the three in Jeremiah where the theme is good news, he ushers in the final installment of the irrevocable covenant that God has made with God's own people, and that includes you and me. It was first given to Noah after the flood, when God renews the blessings of creation and reaffirms God's image in humanity by preserving and promising some degree of restraint of human violence and evil. Next came the covenant to Abraham, which is the most central to the biblical story. God's promise would grant blessings to Abraham, which would extend to his descendants, which is understood as all the peoples of the earth. Jeremiah picks up on this theme in today's reading by repeating the words of God, "I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people." Next came the covenant to Moses that God established with the people of Israel at Mount Sinai after God had led them out of Egyptian slavery. God supplied the law, which is meant to govern and shape the people into a reflection of the symmetry of creation as God's people respond in a perfect harmony of relationship between God and God's people. How's that working for us? The covenant was conditional and defined blessings and curses in the Old Testament, like the exiles of Israel and Judah. The disputes in the New Testament between Jesus and the Pharisees, and Paul's teachings about law and grace. Next came the covenant to David, where a promise was made that a descendant of David would secure the promise of the descendants and the following blessings. This became the hope for a Messiah, and make sense of the gospel's concern to show Jesus was the king of both Gentiles and Jews. Finally, in the latter part of this 31st chapter of Jeremiah, and was the fifth and final covenant that was given by God, who would rescue and renew the exiled people of God in Babylon and establish a new covenant which would be unlike any of the ones before, all of which had been broken. That coming day, which has now arrived at Easter, would bring forgiveness of sin, internal renewal of the heart, and an intimate knowledge of God. Jeremiah gives a preview in the passage read today. "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." This, my beloved friends, is the larger drama of Easter. In our communion ritual read every month and during our Maundy Thursday observance on Thursday night, we have been reminded that when our love fails, as it does so often, God's love remains steadfast. And in our ritual where we welcome others into the Mayflower journey as we're going to do today in just a few moments, we do not do it with an insistence on a specific doctrine, dogma, or creed. Rather, with a promise of a covenantal relationship of love, we make a mutual pledge to make the Spirit of Christ dominant in all our relationships, but also recognizing, as in the marriage relationship when we make our vows, that we all make mistakes and we have all been exiles due to our own complicity. We are all in need of God's forgiveness, which flows from the cross unconditionally, and which we covenantally grant to each other within the beloved community. Let us now share together and renew our pledge of covenantal love as we welcome Dr. Bob and Judy Posey into the fellowship, as they have been members of our sister church and now join with us at Mayflower. Thanks be to God. I'll ask the Poseys to come up with me. Now, I hate to split you up, but we can stand on either side of you. Many of you folks know these people, some of you have known them for a long time. Thank you, Skip. Microphone on. Now we'll give it a try. There we are. What would we do without our faithful production engineer back there, who is nothing less than a genius? So now you have your ritual, and it is a ritual, but we do it with all of our uniqueness and personalities, including the personalities and uniqueness of the two that are joining today. So hear now these words, and this goes to you, Bob, and you, Judy, seeking membership in this church. Do you accept the religion of love and service that Jesus taught and lived, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself, to make the Spirit of Christ dominant in your relationships, also recognizing that we are all human. We make mistakes, and sometimes we need to be forgiven and to offer forgiveness. Do you therefore covenant together with all the members and friends of Mayflower Church to prayerfully promote harmony, faithfulness, and unconditional love, accepting a share in its privileges and duties insofar as you are able, God being our helper? If so, say, I do. That's the answer I wanted to hear. Don't think there was much question about that, though. And now would you please stand, those that can. So we're going to make our commitment. This works both ways, folks. They have just made their commitment, and now it's time to make our commitment to them and to each other once again. And then following this, we'll read the Mayflower Church Covenant together. We rejoice with you and joyfully receive you into membership and fellowship. We pledge our Christian love as you have promised us. We humbly pray to God that both you and we may be true to this covenant forever. Through Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'll ask Ruth Posh to come forward. She has some certificates that we'll give out in just a minute. And Ruth is our lay leader and soon to be called moderator. We're making a little change in that. Same thing, but come on up, Ruth. And we'll all share in the Mayflower Church Covenant. Let us now repeat. We are banded together as a Christian church to maintain the worship of God, to proclaim the gospel of Christ, to develop a sense of our relationship and duty to God and our fellow persons, and to be an inspiration for love, truth, and passion for righteousness and enthusiasm for service. To this end, we pledge our loyalty to Christ and covenant with each other to strive to express Christ's Spirit in our individual and corporate lives, to live together as Christians, and to submit ourselves to the government of this church, working, giving, praying for its increase, its purity, its peace, and seeking in every way to make it a power for the building up of the kingdom of God.
All right, Ruth, if you'd present the certificates to Judy and Bob. And I'll shake hands again with our new congregants. They're really not new. They've been around here for a while, folks, and we appreciate it. So following the service in the Friendship Center, Bob and Judy, as far as they're able, will stand there. It might be a long line, but you folks do what you got to do, but we take opportunity for as many as can to greet Bob and Judy. You may be seated.
Thou art death has won. in the conquering sun. Endless is the victory, the war death hath won.
I think I'm just going to let you sit down. Well, I got to tell you, one of the reasons I look forward to Easter Sunday is I have a stole, and we have some returnees from Florida that I understand got in late last night, Terry and Gwen Tisdale, who's wonderful, is a wonderful banner maker. And do you remember Christmas Eve when I wore this stole? There's the Christmas Eve, and here is the Easter all in one, and that's what one of the things I really look forward to today, Gwen.
With all the music, the scripture, the spoken word, the prayers offered, I know that the Spirit of God is all we need to experience joy in spite of whatever exile or wilderness experience that you have been through or going through. God will have the victory in our lives now and evermore. Amen.
Final word is this, as was with the prophet Jeremiah, that judgment is always subordinate to the steadfast, faithful love of God. And I hope we can be creative, and we will, as we greet one another. Some of you may have to leave and be with family, but we hope most, if not all of you, can join us in the Friendship Center, where our worship continues in fellowship with one another. We have the posies to greet. We have visitors that you just run up to and put your... No, you just... You do your own thing, but maybe greet a person or two that you don't know so we can welcome everyone with open arms. Thanks for being here. Next Sunday, I'll tell you what, it's going to be just as good as today. It always is. There you go. Go in peace. Amen.